Bookcast 051. It's April 2010. Welcome to Folkcast for April 2010. I'm your host, Folky Phil Widows, and that was Australian band Zep Tepi, starting us off in fine form with a brilliantly full-on reworking of John Barleycorn that they call The Ballad of John Green. And my thanks go to Zep Tepi frontman, Phil Dean, for sending that song our way. Phil left the UK for Melbourne 10 years ago and has been leading the band there ever since. Oof. I feel quite fired up now, and there's lots more great music to come this month, as ever. And if you're a regular Folkcast listener, you'll know the routine. I play some prime cuts from the world of folk rock, singer-songwriter, and roots-based music. We sprinkle some spice into the mix, courtesy of our regular contributors Baba and Dave Alton, and the result is an entertaining and enlightening hour and 18 minutes-ish of stories and songs, or at least we hope it is. Songs like the next one, for instance. German duo Them Pastoral Pilots produce a sound that's richly resonant of British acoustic pop from the early 1960s, but with a strange singer-songwriter edge and an intriguing dark subtext. Here, from their self-titled debut album, it's Them Pastoral Pilots with the self-penned Life is Easy, If You're Welcome.
Life is easy if you're welcome. Give away your smile. Send your fake goodbyes. You will find it so easy to die. Presence of your fellows in a well-lit room this afternoon, selling profits and killing time. Life is easy if you're welcome. Life is easy when you're sane. They're gonna offer you protection, and you will be safe again. And you will be safe again. Life is easy if you're welcome. Give away your smile. Send your fake goodbyes. You will find it so easy to die. So easy to die. Life is easy if you're welcome. Life is easy when you're sane. They're gonna offer you protection, and you will be safe.
That I couldn't settle. Ice, water, and hell. What can I do? I'm just a simple man. Maybe I fall in love with a pretty young girl, but I'm on the wrong side of 40. I'm not a lady killer. I do no money to be a sugar daddy. I need a right word to win that game. Don't find those words to win that game. It's time to ask my advertising expert. I'm sure he can help me find my way. So I say, we'll be right back. all my doctrine. Maybe I'm the president, I've got to lead all the states, but how explain to my people killing cannot be mistake. Hey, hey, Mr. Marketing Man, help me make a point, I want to save all I can. Words can do anything, can't help me to win. Don't mind your own business. I need a plan.
Dan Dan, oh yes, from Jackson, Mississippi. That was Johnny Bertram and his Golden Bicycles. No, really. With a song called Private Land, which comes from their very, very new album, Days That Passed. In fact, it's so new, it's not out until April 27th. Now, I love that rock sound mixed with the Appalachian folky twinklings of the mandolin. Ah, what can we call that that style? I don't know. Let's how about rock folk? No. Instead, let's call it hip hop soul R&B. Why? Well, because the funky crowd that normally churn out hip hop soul and R&B have suddenly decided to call their music grown folk music. Would you believe? That just confuses folk fans like me even more. In fact, thanks to America, the very phrase folk music has become so devalued that it's almost meaningless. You see, in jolly old England, folk music relates to tradition, to a style, to a subject matter. But in the US of A, the term folk music means anything played on an acoustic guitar. And you try searching for folk on the internet and see what you get. So, a new name is needed for what used to be folk music, to distinguish it from pop or soul or hip-hop or, I don't know, light opera. Suggestions on a postcard, please. Okay, rant over. Before Johnny Bertram and his bling bikes, you got a shot of Richard Cockley with his song Marketing Man from his album Laid Back. And I hope Cockley is how you pronounce your surname, Richard. If not, apologies. Anyway, thanks to him for supplying his music to us. And he describes his style as roots, folk rock and blues, and that'll do for me. Richard hails from Switzerland. He has a new book out this month titled Masters of Blues Guitar, and he'll have a new album released by the end of the year. And at the top of that trio of tunes, it was, as I said, Them Pastoral Pilots. So, from the top of the show, we've gone from Australia to Germany to Switzerland and ending up in America. About time we heard music from the home of Folkcast, I reckon. And what's more English than a song about getting drunk? Here from Portsmouth, a great town to get drunk in, are Chris Ricketts and Mike Wilshire with their version of Tilbury Town, a song that the lads say is traditional, but it ain't. It was written in 1982 by Jack Forbes for a radio programme about Tilbury Docks, and he called it Rolling Down the River. But as Jack says on his website, it can be heard wherever there are shanty sessions at folk festivals or festivals about the sea. So it's well on its way to getting that traditional status, which is a peculiar kind of honour in the folk world. And I hope he doesn't mind us playing it here. Anyway, this is on Chris and Mark's CD Simple Folk, which is available via iTunes and CD Baby. And as ever, if you look at our show notes at folkcast.co.uk, you'll find links to all the artists that we play. Okay, here we go. Tilbury Town.
Well, I once was a rigger and I worked like hell, rolling up, rolling down. Now I'm sailing with the OCL, rolling down the river, rolling up or rolling down. We'll all get drunk in Tilbury Town, 24 hours to turn around, go rolling down the river. When I first saw the TUs rolling up, rolling down, I wondered where they stowed that crew. Rolling down the river, rolling up or rolling down, we'll all get drunk in Tilbury Town, 24 hours to turn around, go rolling down the river. The cargo comes in TUs rolling up, rolling down, a 20-foot box, boys filled with booze, rolling down the river, rolling up or rolling down, we'll all get drunk in Tilbury Town, 24 hours to turn around, go rolling down the river. Got a friend called Kettle Ann, rolling up, rolling down. She likes a brew, she likes a man, rolling down the river. And she's got a mate called Teapot Jane, rolling up, rolling down. rolling down, she's on and off our boat again, rolling down the river, rolling up or rolling down, we'll all get drunk in Tilbury Town, 24 hours to turn around, we're rolling down the river. Girls go round in pairs, rolling up, rolling down. They don't wear no underwear. We're rolling down the river, rolling up or rolling down. We'll all get drunk in Tilbury Town. 24 hours to turn around. We're rolling down the river. While I once was a rigger and I worked like hell, rolling up, rolling down, now I'm sailing with the OCL, rolling down the river.
Over the green hills, never so far away, my heart's inclined to the South Downs way. On your horizon line, the world becomes sublime, green static waves, South Downs way, land of ancient memories, unseen eyes follow.
Subsides. It is cold and a slight wind blows through the downs. We keep walking, it seems miles, and I stop and find a place. The cows have not left a souvenir and rest on the grass. Put my head back like it was a gigantic bed and I wish I could sleep here. It is so comfortable. Looking up at the new purple sapphire sky, I close my eyes. Breathe cold, clean air. This moment lives in me still. Little yellow flowers decorate the hill. To walk the downs to catch the view. To walk the downs to catch the view. The downs to catch the view, to walk the downs to catch the view. We walk to the chattery where the ashes of the Indian soldiers of the First World War lie under three crematoriums. From the land you can almost hear their cries. I think of you now. Who visit me, echoes up from the ground. Here are buried the brave, 19-year-old boys of battles past, all right in the middle of the open meadows. It feels like we were in the First World War together. I wish I could sleep here forever, South Downs Way.
Thank you. as they will flow down the river, and we don't have to say a word to each other, just a smile or two will tickle the water and do what rivers do. And all we need is here, all we need is here. Watching the river flow, watching the river flow. Forget the West End, you can leave your car. We'll stop for a while at some old star country bar. And it don't matter if we're rich or poor, you and me, we've come so far. All we need is here, all we need is here. Watching the river flow, watching the river flow. With you and only you, I celebrate this river view. Following our favorite star, you and me, we've come so far. Sing a song like Shining Star, everything. Upside down, we could do it again. And all we need is here, all we need is here. Watching the river flow, watching the river flow. With you and only you, I celebrate this river view.
Songs from England there. First, as I told you earlier, it was Chris Ricketts and Mark Wilshire with Tilbury Town. And the third song was Watching the River Flow from Andy Carter, Matt Morton, Lorna Morton and Cat Carter, together known as the Barracks Band. Andy and Matt were part of the now deceased Red Ruth, a band that we featured in a couple of folkcasts at the end of 2008. Andy kindly sent us the rough cuts of some songs by the Barracks Band, and says that they'll be spending this summer polishing them up on the festival circuit before putting them down on CD in their more finished form. And I think there's plenty of promise for something really good to come there. Sandwiched between Tilbury Town and Watching the River Flow, it was Peter Lacey with a song titled South Downs Way. Now, for our international listeners, I should explain that the South Downs is an area of gently rolling grassy hills on the coast of Sussex and Hampshire in southern England, and the area's just this very month become our 10th official national park. The South Downs Way is a 100-mile path that follows the old drovers' roads that are thousands of years old, and the song is from the album by Peter Lacy, also called South Downs Way, and was written in collaboration with Stephen John Kalinich, who provided the other voice in that track. Stephen's a poet from New York City who wrote several songs for the Beach Boys and was a staff writer for Motown Records. And while he was making a journey in England, he hooked up with Peter in his native Sussex, and the lyric of the song concerns the impact that the whole Downs area had on Stevie, in particular a visit to a monument on the Downs commemorating the Hindu and Sikh soldiers who fought on the Western Front in the First World War. And if you like songs that are inspired by history, well, we've got a real treat for you later in the show when our Baba, the man who puts the story into history, will be doing the Resurrection Shuffle. So make sure you keep listening for, well, it's a genuinely spooky treat. But first, let's hear from Folkcast's own resident poet, Dave the Rhymer Alton, who has cast his mind back into the mists of time to take a look at one of the oldest legends of the British Isles, King Arthur. Well, we all know the tales of Arthur and Excalibur, but have you ever wondered just what was meant by that story of drawing the sword from the stone? I'll let Mr. Alton explain.
Arthur draws the sword from the stone. By Dave Alton. Into the hills of Albion, where the golden eagles soar, went Arthur to seek special stone, red with mysterious ore. Then deep into the dark forests, where old oaken branches fall, he collected all the timber needed to make the charcoal. Building up a fiery furnace till it was white hot, then he fed in the broken chunks of ore, and the molten iron ran free. The iron cooled in a sandy mould, but not for long left to lie. Heat and hammer, making vivid red sparks fly, driving out the brittle demons. Through the strength of Arthur's arm, a sword blade began to take shape, the smith being adept and calm. Then there came the polishing and the edge being honed, razor keen. Finally a handle fitted, a sword where a stone had been. Friends said, "This must be the devil's work, or angels," thought a neighbour. "No need of them," Arthur replied, "this is the fruit of labour. From the dark earth I dug the ore, and fashioned it through my skill, and each stage my working made it more valuable still. I drew this sword out from the stone by making my hammers sing. From dross to precious artifact, and in me, labour is king."
Stone. blade finally honed. Oh, Excalibur.
We'll be right back.
I hope you enjoyed that. A little different for Folkcast, it's true. But that was Rick Wakeman with his band performing a song called Arthur from the Live at Hammersmith album. And I'm going to shoehorn that into the folk rock category, and here's why. One, Rick is on the bill at Fairport Convention's Cropperty Festival in August, part of a three-day lineup that must be one of the strongest and most widespread in the festival's long history. And reason two, Rick's a former member of the Straubs, who are a fine folk prog rock band and still going strong in acoustic style. So, Rick Wakeman performing Arthur, part of a suite of music to showcase Dave Alton's superb reimagining of the King Arthur story. A full list of the music played during that poem section is in the show notes at folkcast.co.uk. But the other song there was Excalibur by Mike Collins, a singer, songwriter and guitarist from North Carolina. That particular song comes from his debut album, desert anthem and seemed appropriate. And speaking of Excalibur, also at Fairport's Cropperty Festival will be an excerpt from the Celtic folk rock opera of that name. And that's going to be really special. Right. We still got Baba and the story behind the song to come, and you don't want to miss that. But first, we'll go back to the aforementioned Straubs. Well, kind of. Brian Willoughby was a guitarist in the Straubs for 25 years and has worked with everyone from Monty Python to Roger Whittaker. He's teamed up now with American singer Catherine Craig, who's worked with everyone from the Righteous Brothers to Garth Brooks. Here, from their new album, Calling All Angels, is a song inspired by Catherine's aunt, who was a pioneer female pilot called Genevieve Orange. Footcasters, I give you Craig and Willoughby and Genevieve.
Everywhere she goes, she caused a scene. 18 age beauty queen. Who could have had a safe life? A loving rich man's wife. But she could hear the call of the wind. She wanted to go higher and then write her name across the sky. Across the sky, Genevieve would rather be flying on a merry-go-round of sunlight and clouds, smiling, caught in between the world at her feet, or letting go of all she's known. She turned around and spread her wings, 'cause Genevieve would rather be flying. She remembers New York City lights and hot Havana. The feel of young skin, passion, the taste of salty sand on a beach, the moon and all the stars in her reach. But she'd leave it all behind, Genevieve would rather. Could she tell us, don't you cry, 'cause everything's all right. She can close her eyes and she's free once again, across the mountains and trees, dancing in the sky, in the sky, yeah.
Sat him down in his chair. The doctor came and warned the lights were on, but no one was there. And the local men and even old friends often would say they ought to strap him up and lock him down and take him away. But their house was marked with an X of sirens wailing the night, and there'll be a souvenir for every child. Foot on your tailbone is gonna make you think twice. Pamela's father had a candle alight, though there were warnings of low-flying planes in the night. We were locked up in the village hall and ever so quiet. I heard my mother say to your mother, "Where is your husband tonight?" But their house was marked with an X of sirens wailing the night, and there'll be a souvenir for every child. And the old man's foot on your tailbone is there to make you think twice. Is when you see Pamela. So you will feel it then. When you see Pamela looking all swell, everybody in this town is going straight to hell. Pamela's father was never heard from since then. He got so buried deep in rubble to pull him out with bare hands. So a committee came with shovels, but somebody said, "Don't go digging down too far now, boys, in case he ain't dead." They put his picture in the paper and they wrote how he died, and said he leaves behind a wife and his child. And the old man's foot on your tailbone, it's gonna make you think twice. When you see Pamela looking all swell, you feel it in your bones, or you will feel it then. When you see Pamela looking all swell, everybody in this town is going straight to hell.
Jez Morgan, the fabulous Jez Morgan from Norfolk with Pamela. That's a song from her new album titled All Swell. That's the title of the album. The song's titled Pump. Oh, you get it. You get it. Okay. We debuted Jez in our July 2009 show and are delighted to hear more from her. That album is out on the Amateur Boxer label and it's a knockout. Sorry. And before Jess with Pamela, it was Craig and Willoughby with Genevieve. Brian Willoughby handed a copy of their album to Ken Nicol and asked if he could get it on the show. And we're delighted to oblige. You don't have to go to a Ken Nicol gig to get your music on Folkcast. Although my old podding partner Ken's doing a lot of gigs at the moment. So why not go along? If you can't make it to one of his shows, it may be easier just to go to folkcast.co.uk and follow the link marked Send Music for full details of how to get your sounds to us so that we can jam them into the ears of thousands of listeners all around the world. Or you can join us on a social networking site. We come in several flavours these days. There's Twitter, there's MySpace, there's the blog, and there's Facebook, or at least there is for now. I'm not sure I'm keen on Facebook, to be honest, but maybe I'm just doing it wrong. Anybody who knows how to drive it properly and fancies giving me some tips, could you please get in touch? But not via Facebook, okay? We like old-fashioned email to contact@folkcast.co.uk. Right, we've promised him, and now we're going to deliver him. Look over there. Who's that character in the cloak with a shovel on one shoulder and a shrouded lantern in his hand? I do believe it's Baba. And the story behind the song.
Hello, Baba here, with another story behind the song. I'm taking a slightly different approach this month. Rather than the usual traditional song, I'm delighted that a good friend of Folkcast has written something new that tells a tale that's worth expanding on. Chuck Alston has been playing guitar since 1960, and he's been in so many bands that it would take most of my slot just to list them. So I'll simply say that he's a member of the Rockabilly Hall of Fame, he's an ordained minister, and we love his stuff. Let me set the scene for this month's story, though. It's the first half of the 19th century, and someone has died. Members of his family have sat with the body right up to the funeral, and that's passed without incident. Now we're watching what should be the burial, which is where we notice a couple of strange things. Firstly, the coffin isn't wooden. It's made of iron, and locks secure it tightly. Secondly, it's not being interred in the ground. It's being placed in an iron cage, which is then padlocked. And finally, here's a family member handing some coins to another man who's promising to watch the coffin in its iron cage every night for 6 weeks. All a little bit spooky, isn't it? I mean, if you saw that happening today, you'd think they were taking all those precautions to make sure that someone or something couldn't get out of the coffin. And even if they did, they'd be imprisoned in the cage while the night watchman raised the alarm. Well, in fact, the opposite is true. The family are trying to make sure that someone cannot get into the coffin, and they can afford the best protection available at the time, because this is the time of the grave robbers, people who made a living by stealing bodies and selling them. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. What sort of ghoul would want to buy a dead body, you know, all green and leaky? Well, the sort of ghoul who runs a medical college, that's who. Student doctors had to learn anatomy. And it's no use saying to a prospective surgeon that, well, the appendix is sort of around this part of the abdomen. Just have a rummage around, you'll find it eventually. No, they need to be shown, using a dead body. And in the early 19th century, when there was no refrigeration, we're talking about a body that is no more than 6 weeks old at the very latest. And there lay the problem. Not enough bodies for the medical schools. There's a widespread belief that the bodies of executed criminals were used for this purpose, but in fact, a criminal had to be sentenced to both death and dissection before this would take place. Such a sentence was reserved for especially harsh crimes. And what's more, there weren't as many executions then as people imagine. It's often said that you could get hung for stealing a loaf of bread in the 19th century, but that's wrong by at least 100 years. By the early 19th century, transportation was the big thing, and only about 50 people a year were being sentenced to death. Medical schools didn't require a license until 1832, and there were a lot of them. So it's been estimated that at least 500 bodies a year were needed. Enter the grave robber, who on a moonless night would dig down through the freshly disturbed earth of a new grave, smash open the coffin, and steal the body away to sell on to the nearest anatomy lecturer who didn't ask questions. Such a thief was often known as a resurrection man, and that's the title of Chuck Austin's song. So, away you go, Chuck.
I'm a resurrection man, and I move from town to town. I'll dig up your grave, and I'll sell you for half a crown. Now take that rag and bone man, he'll do the best he can. But he never can compare to a resurrection man. I came down to Highgate at the setting of the sun. I ain't got time for trifling, I ain't got time for fun. And if you've lost a sweetheart, you better dig her deep, lest the resurrection man disturb her in the sleep. I'm a resurrection man, and I move from town to town. I'll dig on your grave, and I'll sell you for half a crown. Now take the rag and bone man, he'll do the best he can. But he never can compare to a resurrection man. You dare not light a lantern, best use moon or star. It wouldn't do for the old mill to know just where you are. There's medical students aplenty, waiting to ply the trade. So you better get a movin' and dig in with your spade. I'm a resurrection man, and I move from town to town. I'll dig up your grave, and I'll sell you for half a crown. Now take the rag and bone man, he'll do the best he can. But he never can compare to a resurrection. The rooster that crows at break of day. Better have your business done, better be on your way. Cause them that weren't so careful and had a run in with old Bill, the wind is sighing through their bones that hang on Tyburn Hill. I'm a resurrection man, and I move from town to town. I'll dig on your grave, and I'll sell you for half a crown. Now take the rag and bone man, he'll do the best he can. But he never can compare to a resurrection man. No, he never can compare to a resurrection man.
Cheers, mate. A suitably grim evocation of this grisly trade. And it must be said, a lucrative trade too, because a body, depending on how fresh it was, could be sold for anything up to £10. Quite a sum when you consider that an unskilled labourer then would be lucky to make £100 a year. What's more, it was a fairly safe crime to commit. Even if caught, the grave robber could not be tried for theft because nobody owns a dead body. Just so long as the grave robber took only the corpse, not any clothes or anything else that might have been placed in the coffin, he could only be charged with essentially minor offences that warranted a fine, or at worst, a short stay in prison. Now, the two names that are most associated with grave robbing in the UK are Burke and Hare, of course. Except that this pitches us straight into the everything we know is wrong area. William Burke and William Hare did sell bodies to anatomy teachers in the Edinburgh area. but all but two of the 18 bodies they sold were of people that they had murdered. Of the two bodies they sold that they hadn't done in, one was an old man who died of natural causes in the lodging house that Burke and Hare used, and the other was a woman who died in circumstances that were being investigated by the police. Burke claimed to be a relative of the dead woman and removed her body. Burke and Hare were arrested when one of the tenants of the lodging house found a body under the bed. At the trial, the judge, realising that there might be more to this than just one simple murder, offered Hare immunity from prosecution if he gave evidence against Burke, an offer that was immediately accepted. Burke was, of course, sentenced to death and dissection for the 16 murders that the two had committed. He was hanged on the 28th of January 1829 and dissected at Edinburgh Medical College, where you can still see his skeleton in their museum. The Burke and Hare murders, though, highlighted the need for bodies for dissection and the temptation that this provided for murder or grave robbing. And the government passed an Anatomy Act in 1832 that had two main provisions. Firstly, anyone wishing to teach anatomy by dissection had to obtain a licence from the Home Office. This reduced the number of medical colleges. Secondly, it allowed all unclaimed bodies, such as those who had died in prisons or workhouses, to be given to licensed anatomy teachers. Almost overnight, grave robbing disappeared because there was no longer any profit in it. Well, that's my time up. Thanks again to Chuck for the song that inspired all this, and next time I hope to be exploring a military tale of young men who were seduced by jingoism. Until then, fare thee well.
Thanks, Bubba, and thanks, Chuck. Right, that's your lot for Folkcast 051 for April 2010. Thanks as ever to all the artists who contributed music, and to Iota Promenade and Manila PR for helping get it to us, and to all our MySpace friends too. We'll see the rest of you online at folkcast.co.uk and hope to be back maybe in May, maybe June. But we'll finish with a quick blast of Barrow Furnace duo April, maybe May, whose new album comes out next month. The song is called Home. So until next time, this is Phil Widows saying keep focused on Folkcast and bye bye.
Home is the best place to hide sometime. Close the front door and twist. Just not here. Can't you read the sign? Summer was just a day this year.